right. Again, it is great to be here, guys. This is my second week back, or my family's second week back after a little break in July, and it's just awesome to be together with church family and worship with you guys. So really awesome to be here. This summer at our services, we've been doing a series called House of Prayer. How many of you guys know that Jesus described his house as a house of prayer? You guys know that? Which is really important for us to realize. Jesus named his house something, and it was a prophecy from Isaiah, but he's just emphasizing that the main activity that I want for the people of God is to learn how to pray. But I want to expand that a little bit. It's not just, here's my list of things I need God to do. Prayer, more extensively, is our connection and engagement with God. Isn't it so great? We get to engage with a living God and talk with him. He talks with us. Prayer is not this rigorous like list thing. It is. Wow, we get to interact with God. I love seeing that here on Sunday mornings where, you know, we're not showing up to watch a band perform. I love just looking around every once in a while and seeing people with their eyes closed, looking like they're talking to themselves, but they're talking to God. They're just believe he's in the room with them. And that is our heart here, because we want to learn how to do that and how to engage with God in a real way. And he's more present than we realize. Amen? He's here with us. And so we've been journeying through this House of Prayer series, and we've been talking about a variety of different ways to engage with or interact with God or pray. And today is the last message in this series. And we've one thing that I like to do in the summer is ask different members within our church body to share, because we have a lot of quote-unquote wealth in this house of people that are walking with the Lord and have something to share, and God speaks to them. And so we get to wrap it up with a treat this morning. We got Emma and Emmanuel Villastegui, so give it up for these guys. Woo, 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 woo. It's going to be great. Yeah. They got some fans already. So we're going to hear a little tag team marriage. Not talking about marriage, but, you know, a little tag team married couple talk this morning, which is just so fun. So y'all agree with me as I pray over them, and then they'll jump in. So God, we just thank you so much for these pillars in this church family, in this house. We thank you for who they are in you. And we thank you for the blessing of them. And we pray, Spirit of God, fill them up to share whatever you've given them to share. And more than them communicating well, God, we ask for hearts to receive what they have to share. God, would you make our ears attentive to ultimately your voice? Would you impart something in us? Will we leave here different this morning? And we trust you, and we just ask for grace to be sensitive to what you want to speak to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good up for these guys one more time.
Howdy, friends. My name's Emmanuel. This is Emma Villastegui. And we got a photo of our little family. We got an almost one-year-old daughter, Maranatha. Yeah. And so we are going to talk today about the sacrifice of prayer. And the sacrifice, that's the word is just, to the world, it can be a little off-putting. It can be tough to hear. But we have our faith and hope in Jesus. And so sacrifice is part of the upside-down kingdom. It is the greatest thing that we could do. So let me talk to y'all about who we are first. We are a part of the Family Thursday Night Life Group. Shout out Keith's. We also help lead the young adult section with the Parkies. I work for Belfour Property Restoration, and Emma is in grad school for her master's in social work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's get into this message. Yeah, so I just want to align our hearts first by just reiterating the gospel. Who is Jesus? Who is our Lord? Who is our King? Yeah, it says in the word that if Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected from the dead, then our faith is in vain and we are the most to be pitied. But he did. He conquered death and Hades. And so he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He has a crown that will never be taken away. Mm-hmm. So the sacrifice is no longer with blood and goats, and rams. It's Jesus. It's his blood on the cross. It's his body. He was born of a virgin. He was a refugee in Egypt. He was hungry. He was tired. He was thirsty. He was human just like us. But he was fully God. And he chose 12 young men to pour his whole life into, to disciple them, to teach them the ways of the Lord. He was betrayed by them. He was betrayed by his own people, his own government. He was beaten. He had a crown of thorns that was put into his skull. He was put up there on the cross. He was suffocated. And he died for us. But glory be to God that he was raised 3 days later. He's raised. He has the keys to death and Hades. And so it says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so that doesn't make any sense. There's the joy for him to go to the cross, for him to sacrifice his life, to sacrifice everything. And so when we hear that, I want us to begin to understand what that means, the joy set before him, that there's a joy in the sacrifice. So I want to begin reading out of Acts 2, a familiar passage. But I want to start a little bit earlier. Verse 31 says, "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." That's his sacrifice, that he poured himself out, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father now. I'm going to continue in verse 37 to 39. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" So they say, what do we do now? Now that we have heard the gospel, what's our reaction? Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to continue on into some verses that we know very well. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and fear came upon them. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided the proceeds among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." So that's the response, guys. Let's take a look at this a little bit deeper and see the response of the gospel. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers, wonders and signs being done through the apostles, fear as the wonders and signs are being done, having all things in common. They were together. They sold their possessions and their goods and divided the proceeds among all, as any had need. One accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, eating their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So that's, you see them giving their all. That's everything. They are giving their lives for Jesus and for the gospel. And so for us, I want us, our hearts to be stirred by that, by the Lord's sacrifice to give it all. But it's not out of like a sadness or not unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not in vain, but it's to an eternal Father who's seated at the right hand, who will come back, who will rule and reign. He'll be coming back on a white horse to judge righteously and to establish his rule forever. Yeah. So I'm going to pass it off to Emma, and she's going to come in with some practicals.
All right, yes. I hope now that your hearts are set aflame with the vision for sacrifice for the joy set before you to give your life to the Lord. So what is the sacrifice of prayer? I think when I heard that phrase, I was like, I don't really know what that means. But after a couple weeks of study and just asking the Holy Spirit, what does the sacrifice of prayer mean? I feel like he gave me this definition, that the sacrifice of prayer is giving of time, resources, and skill to create a resting place for God's presence. Yeah. When I feel like I received that definition, I had another question. Why do you ask us to build a resting place? What does that mean? Why create a resting place for God's presence? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Number one, why he asks us to create a resting place for him is that he desires it. He desires it. He eagerly and earnestly wants his people to build him a house so that we can spend time with him together. Psalm 132, 13 through 16, I'm going to read that. It says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy." When I read this, I looked up what does Zion mean, and one of its definitions is a holy city. And I love that that is the word that the Lord chose to put in this verse, that when he was wanting to describe his dwelling place, he could have said a mountain or a garden or a nice beach or something like that. But he didn't. He said, "I want a city." And when I think of a city, the pictures that are conjured in my mind are of like bustling streets, crowded coffee shops. It's community. It's people dwelling together. It's rubbing shoulders with one another. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to dwell together with him in his house. And that's the dwelling place that he has chosen and that he desires. And he says that this is his resting place forever. So it was his resting place in the time of David and of the Psalms. It's what he desires right now, today. And it's what he desires forever until eternity future is a city where he can dwell with his people, with his children together. And there's a promise that comes with that dwelling place. He says, "I will bless, I will provide, I will satisfy the poor. He'll bring joy, he'll bring salvation." And there's just like a comfort in the promise of the resting place that we will never see lack when we're dwelling in the house of the Lord. All right. Now we're going to read Isaiah 60:13. "The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious." When I read this passage, about like Lebanon and the trees and the pines, I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but I knew that I had read other places in the Old Testament that were talking about Lebanon and trees. So I looked into that a little bit, and it turns out that in the ancient times, Lebanon was famous for lumber and timber. It was their main export, and it was highly sought after and desired specifically because the trees, when they were used to build buildings, there was this fragrant aroma that filled the houses when they were constructed with these trees. And I just love that the Lord's like, "I don't just want any lumber to build my house. I want the best. I want the most excellent, the highly sought out of, the best offering so that you can beautify the place of my sanctuary, so that there's a fragrant aroma that fills my house when we're spending time together. And then there's another promise that's attached to that, that when we bring him the best, when we offer up the most fragrant offerings, he will make the place of his feet glorious. He promises to come and to dwell with us and to bring his glory. And I love that we're able to see in Exodus when that actually happened. When the tabernacle was made, they brought the pine and the cypress and the box tree from Lebanon. They constructed the tabernacle. And then in the end of Exodus, it says that once it was finished being built, that the glory of the Lord descended on the tabernacle. And it was like a cloud of glory. And that's the same God. We serve that same God today that wants to come, that wants to bring his glory when we build a house for him. When I was thinking about this, a lot of my references are going to be child-related because I'm in the depths of motherhood right now. So when I was thinking about this, I was imagining, like, what if your daughter built a pillow fort in the living room and, like, tore up the couches, tore up all the blankets, made a fort, and then put her little toys inside the fort and then said, "Dad, Dad," or "Mom, Mom, look what I made for you. I made this place for us to play together. Come, come crawl into this little pillow fort and play with me." And, you know, if you're walking through the living room and you see that, you wouldn't be like, "Ah, I'm a little too busy for that. I don't think I'm going to do that right now." No, you wouldn't. You would be like, "Oh, thank you. I would love to do that." And you would get on your hands and knees and you wouldn't fit. It would be uncomfortable. You would crawl into that little pillow fort. And you would spend time with your child. And the Lord, who is the best dad, the better mom or dad that we could ever be, when we make our little tiny, it doesn't really fit him, house for him, it is his delight to come and to play with us and to spend time with us. Yeah. All right. So number two, why we create a resting place for the Lord, is that it activates our faith. It activates our faith. It gives us a sense of ownership in the house of the Lord. All right, we're going to really deep dive into the story of the tabernacle now, into Exodus, and I just have to give a big disclaimer. It's 10 chapters long, so we can't read all of it right now, unfortunately. But if you are an artisan, a tradesperson, a creative person, I beg you to read the last 10 chapters of Exodus this week. It is so rich. There's so much gold there. And reading these chapters this week have really just deposited a lot of gold in my heart. So some homework for y'all this week. All right. We're going to read Exodus 31, 1 and 7, 1 through 7. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship.'" This just blows my mind. Sorry, can you go back to the last one? Sorry. Can you go back to 1 through 5? Yeah, there we go, okay. This blew my mind because imagine you're Bezalel and you're just a working man. You're just, like, maybe your dad apprenticed you and you're just living your life working with your hands, making things for your community. And then one day someone comes to you and says, "Bezalel, the Lord called you by name to build his house. And not only that, he is going to fill you with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding in the skills of the trade that you use for your job to bless the work of your hands to make the dwelling of his dwelling place beautiful and excellent." And that's just like, it just blows my mind that the Lord, he knows artistic works. He knows how to work in gold and silver and bronze and carving wood and all manner of workmanship. And his promise is to deposit that heavenly wisdom of working with hands, of creating things, and he's going to bless it unto the building and beautification of his house. All right, now we're going to jump to Exodus 35, 21 through 26. All right. So the tabernacle has been built, and now it's ready to be filled. And the call went out to the people, to the Israelites, what do you have? What can you bring to the tabernacle to fill it with what is needed to worship, to spend time, and to honor the name of the Lord? So it says, then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun, of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. I don't know if you know what it means to be stirred with the wisdom of God to spin goat's hair, but I want to know what that's like. That is crazy. I don't even know what that means. But the Lord is so wise and he's so good that he will take the things that you love to do and he'll drop even more wisdom on it when you offer it up to the Lord to build his house. And I love that at the beginning of this passage, it said, any of those who had a willing heart. And that's all that you need. All you need is a willing heart, is open hands and say, Lord, this is what I have to offer. Would you deposit your heavenly wisdom in me? Teach me how to give this back to you. And he will. He will give you the wisdom of heaven when you have a willing heart. Yeah. All right. Imagine you are one of the Israelites. And after months, the tabernacle is finally finished. You're able to walk in. You know, he was far off. He was on the mountain. If you touched the mountain, you would die. But now he's come. The glory cloud fell. It filled the tabernacle. He's your neighbor now. He once was far off. Now he's your neighbor. And you can finally enter in to spend time with the Lord. And you walk into the tabernacle. You can put up the picture of the tabernacle. You walk into the tabernacle. You're standing in that front room. And you look to your left. And you see the lampstand. And you think, that's my earrings. That's my mother's earrings. the family heirloom that was passed down from generation to generation that you brought out of Egypt, carried through the wilderness, and then offered up. You had a willing heart, and you said, take my earrings. Take them. And now you're able to see it's burning with Holy Spirit fire. Yeah. And then you look in front of you and you see the tapestry of the goat hair. And you're like, I wove that. I had a willing heart. I spent hours and hours in this secret place practicing my craft. And then I stood up and I said, I will spin the yarn to make the tapestry. And now you see it hanging up. And there's just a richness that comes with history of co-laboring with God. And it just deepens the experience of spending time with him when you're able to see in the physical things that you offered up to give to the Lord to beautify the place of his dwelling. Yeah. So just have that in your mind as you're reading Exodus. And I feel like our dream, and I would say maybe even the Lord's dream, would be to see every person in this body fully activated like that. In their gifting, in their talents, in the thing that they've spent hours and hours learning about, practicing, doing, having a willing heart and receiving the wisdom and direction from heaven to adorn his resting place, both in the spiritual condition of your hearts, but also in the physical. And I really believe that this is for everyone. Yeah. I would say, disclaimer, I'm not the most artistic or musical of people. And there's definitely been a season of like maybe disappointment or insecurity there of like, man, I can't just hop up there and play the piano like Emmanuel does. And I have wondered, you know, do I have a part to play in creating a resting place for the Lord if I'm not the most creative of people? And as I was preparing for this, I felt the Lord in his kindness just bring up different things that he's put in me that I can offer up to him. That is maybe not the most obvious, but he has gifted me with a very vivid imagination. And we have had, me and the Lord have had so much fun together thinking of creative ways to have prayer points at life group or fun prayer activities in the prayer room of just igniting some creativity and imagination in the context of prayer. And that's a gift that he gave me that I have, he has given me a willing heart to offer it back up to him. And we have fun together doing that. So you don't have to be creative. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to play an instrument. This is for everyone. It's for everyone. Yeah, just, I'm going to throw out some ideas. Do with this what you will. But I was, like, just as I was thinking of, like, what do different people have to offer? My first thought was to my sourdough people. I know there's a lot of you in this room. You can make communion bread, you know? And, like, I really feel like that would deepen and enrich communion. Like, wow, this is literally the bread. Jesus' body broken for us. And there's just a richness that comes in really great bread when we're eating, when we're taking communion. And to my photography communications people, you know, make a beautiful graphic of the prayer room, and then post it on your Instagram, invite all your friends, and see who comes to pray with you. Maybe to my nannies out there, to my babysitters, offer to watch a family's kids so that they can go to the prayer room and engage with God without distraction. That is a gift. That is such a gift. Yeah. And maybe, yeah, listen to that one. And maybe even your sacrifice is actually leaving something undone. If you weren't here last week and heard Macy's message on adoration prayer, definitely give a listen this week. She talked about Mary and Martha and how Mary's sacrifice was leaving her house messy, was letting people serve themselves. And maybe there is a time where you're like, man, I could go to life group, but my house is really dirty and I need to do my dishes. And I do feel like there is a cost there. It's real. It's a real cost. But for the joy set before us, we leave things undone so that we can spend time with our Father in his house. Yeah. So I submit that to you to ask the Lord, what have you given me to offer? And then bring it. Bring your art supplies. Bring your dancing. Bring your resources, your flags, whatever it is to the prayer room. And just with a willing heart, offer it up to the Lord and say, breathe on this, Father. Yeah, I have a willing heart. Would you give me the wisdom of heaven and show me how to offer this to you to help beautify your house and create a resting place for your presence so that we can play together? Yeah. We have, one more thing.
Band, you can come on up.
Yeah, band, you can come on up. We have some resources. There's a QR code that y'all can take a quick pick of or scan. There's a couple teachings on here where people said things far better than we did that you can take a listen to, and some books and some things that you can just use to get you going in this journey of asking the Lord, what can you offer? As we close, I'm just going to share a little story. Our daughter, Maranatha, is about to turn one, which is so exciting. And this whole summer, I have been thinking about what should I get her as her first birthday gift ever. And I really have been putting a lot of thought into this. I want it to be the perfect gift. I want it to be fun and help her learn creativity and imagination, but also help develop her, and good for her mind, good for her body. I've been thinking about it a lot. And a couple weeks ago, we were at Life Group, and we were in worship, and a little bit of confession time. Instead of focusing on worship, I was looking at Zion's toys. Sorry, Maggie. Zion has this little play kitchen. Zion has this little play kitchen in their living room. And I was looking at it, and I was like, wow, this toy is awesome. It, like, teaches him creative play. He's able to, like, practice fine motor skills with cutting and chopping. Like, this is awesome. And in his kindness, I just felt the Lord tap me on the shoulder a little bit. And he said, Emma, this is my father's heart for you in the prayer room, for you in my house. He was like, my mind is searching. I'm preoccupied with how can I fill my house with things that are good for your mind, good for your soul, good for your body, that we can play with together. And yeah, I just want us to spend some time reflecting on that. What are the tools that he wants to us to offer to bring to the prayer room that will help us to develop into maturity? What are the toys that he wants us to fill his house with that we can have fun spending time together with him, to play with him, to learn him better, for him to learn us better? Yeah, what are the tools and what are the toys that he wants us to offer up to the prayer room to adorn his house, to spend time with him together?
Yeah, so I'm just going to close us out with some prayer. Lord, thank you for your sacrifice, that you gave it all. Thank you, Lord, that we get to partner with you, that we get to give up our lives just as you gave up your life. And our confidence is in you, that as you now sit at the right hand of the Father after you sacrifice, that, Lord, that your reward for us is in heaven, that your reward is eternal, that we just get to be your vessels. And so, Lord, I pray for every single person in this room, that their hearts would just be stirred, that their hearts would be filled with understanding and of wisdom, that there would be new tools deposited in their hearts, new sacrifices, new ideas, a new willingness, a new joy to give you everything, Lord. Yeah, that you are a good dad, a good father. Yeah, and we invite your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray all these things in your Son's name. In Jesus' name, amen.